What's up, guys? Welcome to Unfiltered with Michelle. I'm super excited to be back with the one and only
JD Mitra. What's up, baby?
Hi, babe. I feel like we haven't been on the podcast in a while, so I'm just super excited to jam with you. And today we're talking about a famous quote by Abraham Lincoln that says, "The best way to predict the future is to create it." And this is one of JD's favorite quotes. Do you want to share why?
Well, life is unpredictable. So to say the best way to predict life is almost like an impossible feat, right? It almost sounds impossible. How can you predict the future? How can you predict anything in life, right? So what we can do is we can invent life. We can create life. And that is where we as human beings have this innate ability to, one, have a vision and to create a plan. And from that plan, once we have a vision that really divinely inspires us, we can start to take action. And it's really the thing that excites me the most about life.
And this is a man that always has a plan. He has list details. He's like the ultimate Virgo king. And I love that about him. And I've shared this with you before. I'm going to share it with the audience that I am so in love with this man because of his ability to create space for me to actually go towards my dreams, as crazy as they sound. I know that I've shocked him with these big dreams, but he's someone that I can run fast with and feel like in moments where I'm not dribbling, you have the ball dribbling and I have to catch up and do my best to keep up with you. And I love that about you, that we're both big dreamers. We're very ambitionary. We are very driven as well. And we make shit happen. So let's talk about how important it is to have a vision in place. And also, it's a tricky dance, because not only do you want to have a clear plan and a clear vision that excites you and inspires you, but at the same time, you also want to have space for spirit to surprise you and to actually lead you.
Yeah. Well, babe, thank you for all that. You are the visionary in our relationship, first and foremost. I think that's one thing I've learned from you, is to just really allow myself to dream and to not have these considerations wedged in there, because I think that's what we do as human beings. 99.99% of us, they think that they're coming from their vision, but they're really not. They're coming from what they think they can create. So it really becomes like settling. And we don't actually go for what we want. We go for what we think we can get. And that's a big difference. So I think we could spend a whole hour talking about vision. But because we don't have that hour, once we get past creating a vision, let's say we have that vision in place, then it is so critical. And this is where, again, a lot of visionaries like yourself, where they lose it is in getting back on the ground and really getting grounded on, all right, what is that going to take? Now we have this beautiful vision, this, like, you can feel it, taste it, smell it, of what you want your life to look like, what you want to create. And now it's like, all right, let's methodically create. What has to go before what? How do we prioritize? How do we create a timeline? How do we figure out what is the one thing? And I love this. Preston Smiles talks about this. What is the one thing? We talk about this in Man Cave. What is the one thing that needs to happen this year for all those things in your vision to actually come true? So for each and every one of us, there is a one thing that needs to happen for our vision to happen.
I love that. I loved what you said earlier about really allowing yourself to dream. And most people don't give themselves the permission to dream. And a lot of people come from parents that also didn't allow themselves to dream. So if we have this lineage that came from circumstance among circumstance, it can be really, it can feel challenging to actually give yourself permission to dream out loud and to fall in love with the beauty of your dreams. Now, once you have established a vision that truly excites you, that truly inspires you, now it's about marrying an elevated emotion, in my opinion, to match that intention, where you now are actually reversing reverse engineering that vision to start from the body, from this present moment? Can you drop the resistance of this moment? Can you actually get super present to the endless possibilities, the endless wonder that already exists within this moment? And then, like you said, because I feel like that's where us big dreamers get into trouble, that we have these big dreams and then we lack that follow through, that plan of action. We forget to reparent our inner child that just wants to kind of chase the butterflies and the rainbows and get present in this 3D reality of the things that we want to make happen. And that actually does require a lot of action and a lot of surrender and a lot of trust. But first and foremost, nothing happens without action in this reality.
Nothing happens without action. And I think that the first step after you've locked in on your vision, for me, the first action step is really creating a list and really creating like a plan, like a timeline. And this could be like, I like to work in units of 7 days because that's just how we've been brought up in this world, thinking, you know, week one, week two, week three. So it's just kind of how I think. So like the week for me begins on Monday, right? For some of you, the week might begin on Sunday, but for me, it works on Monday. So on Sunday, what I'm inevitably doing is starting to lay out my week. And, you know, part of setting yourself up to win is really coming out of the gate flying, you know? So I like to have a really powerful Monday where, you know, maybe the most important shit of the week is happening. The stuff that scares the shit out of me is like the stuff that I want to get done on Monday because I want to be in that uncomfortability. I want to welcome that because that's going to set the tone for the entire week. How Monday goes is how the week goes, and how Monday morning goes is how the day goes. So really, how could we win Monday morning? What are the most important things of the week that need to get done? And how do we set the tone of courage and inspiration and vision for the entire week by winning Monday morning?
It's really interesting for me because I'm hearing you, and it's similar to me in the sense that I use Monday to really get present to what is the messages that my guides want me to act on. I, as you can tell, JD and I are very yin and yang, right?
So
JD's very masculine. He's all about action, action, action. He creates these lists and he honors these lists with his utmost integrity. And by the end of the day, you'll see him checking off his list.
That's right.
And that's how he feels empowered. And that's a very masculine way of doing business. For me, I'm also on the opposite spectrum where it's a lot more feminine for me, where I actually tune in and just start asking through prayer, through meditation on Mondays, okay, what is the message for me? Where do you want me to lead? Where do you want me to, how do you want me to serve? And from that space on Monday, I start to get organized. Okay, what are the things that I need to get done? And just really listening to that whisper of the intuition of guiding my week. Mondays is a day for me to receive the guidance and the instruction on what I get to enact Tuesday on, right? And then Tuesday is when I actually move into the action. I start taking action on all these things on my list. It's the day of action. It's Mars Day. It's the day that is ruled by this fire that actually enacts, creates, it pierces through. And so I reserve a lot of my masculine energy for Tuesday.
I love that. You know, you got a feminine day, you got a masculine day. I love that. I love that. My feminine day is like when I go to the spa or when I, you know, self-care, self-love, right? We all need that. We need both.
I think we need both. And we're moving more and more into people starting to really honor their unique way and how they bring their vision to fruition. I don't think there's a one way, and no one way is better or righter than the other. I think it's about really listening and honoring the way that you do and learning to discern what doesn't feel good. Because if you keep pressing and you keep operating from this energy of resistance, well, guess what? Your entire creation, every step you've taken, is laced with this energetic frequency of resistance. But because JD gets so empowered by just taking action, that's how they are super empowered to create what they want.
Yeah, and you know, one thing I will say is that no matter which way you go. Like you said, there's many rivers that lead to the same ocean. Action is a common denominator. Nothing's going to happen without action in either realm, right? So, you know, a lot of this is just a mind fuck to get us to fucking go out there on the skinny branches of life and just go out there and put our best foot forward, yep. Right? And make those powerful requests. I think that one of the main common denominators of successful people are people that have enough self-worth, self-love in their life that they're willing to make those unreasonable requests. We talk about in Landmark Education, being unreasonable, asking for unreasonable things. That is the gift of the most successful people. And when you take yourself out of the equation, you get real Buddhist about it, that this is not about me. This is about my vision and how others benefit. How do others win when I win? How do others become successful when I become successful? Who is the existing population that need me to succeed for my life purpose to be fulfilled? When you start making it more about them and the people you serve, I think that it's much easier to make the powerful requests. And, you know, you and I both know Swamiji, God rest his soul, from yeah. India, from Vivekananda Mission. And this is an old monk who did not have a business, skill set, acumen per se, didn't go to business school. But this man used to make the most powerful requests when it came to asking for money for his ashrams, one of the largest philanthropies all over India. Didn't have a degree from Harvard, but the guy was fully inspired in his heart, and his focus on his vision was those orphan kids that he helped. So he was able to make powerful requests. So I think for every one of us, we have to seize that inspiration that is going to have us in action to make those powerful requests.
I love that. So you go from having a powerful vision that you are uberly inspired by, I don't even know if that's a word, but where you are super inspired, you have those butterflies, you just feel really uplifted by this vision. And then you go about your way in actually receiving guidance, receiving instruction, or create the task list if you feel really clear. You don't need to know how it's going to all work out. Just start with the first two steps. And as you start taking steps, that's going to start creating clarity for yourself. And then from that space, we want you to actually move into the power of requesting, because a lot of these visions don't happen on this solo trip. Unfortunately, it doesn't work like that. It does take a team. It does take you getting out there and actually selling, which requires people, right? So you are to make powerful requests on the things that you need. And
amen.
I love that what you brought up in terms of Landmark. That's where I first heard it, about the power of asking powerful requests, unreasonable requests, because sometimes, like JD said earlier, you are just settling. You're settling for what you think you can get, so you're not actually even asking for what you really want. But if you start training yourself to making unreasonable requests, you're going to start surprising yourself at how many people can actually meet you there or point you in a new direction where you can actually get what you're looking for. And the more you start requesting, you're going to start seeing that there's a rate of return on that, that for every unreasonable request, you're getting things done at a faster pace. You're building this momentum. And the more people are actually holding space for you in this requesting, you're going to see that the law, one of the laws of the universe, I can't remember which one right now, but I will get back to you on that. But one of the laws of the universe is that as you start building this momentum, you start gathering this energy around this vision, and it starts to create this container that for every request, there's an answering. For every opening, there is a giving. And if you open yourself up to actually receive your vision by making these powerful requests, you are going to surprise yourself.
Yeah, and I think that one of the things that go hand in hand with making a powerful request is also speaking into existence the vision, from when it goes to being your vision to their vision to the vision. It becomes like a common vision. So, you know, for example, if you were raising money for a charity, let's just say, right, you might say something to the effect of, hi, Susan, we are raising $1 million for this charity that's going to do X, Y, and Z for underage, underprivileged kids, et cetera, et cetera. Now, that statement that you made is completely out of the blue. Like, you just made that up. And that's called a declaration. That's what we do. We declare. We don't describe life. We declare life, right? We speak into existence what life could be. And then from there, we enroll people, right? Because people see the value in that coming to fruition. And you'll see that people just want to be a part of something. People just want to, you know, be inspired themselves. So you don't have to push the mountain. You don't have to push the rock up the mountain all by yourself. You'll find that people will be enrolled in your vision because it becomes their vision. And that's really, I think, babe, that's really where I think that I'm at in my own career trajectory, is that's probably the area, and you know this best, this is where I struggle, because I play Lone Ranger a lot. Mm-hmm. And I struggled with the SELP program in Landmark, because one of the things they do in Landmark education during the self-expression leadership is they do not allow you to do all the work. And that's one of the things that I'm still working on. For everyone listening now, like, we're all a work in progress. Yeah, I am a work in progress, and I am still trying to get over this ability to request of others. Mm-hmm. So that I'm not just playing Superman by myself.
I think a lot of people can relate to that, myself included, at some point in my journey, where you're so gung-ho about your vision and you can see the value that it'll bring the people. But if you're not versed in this practice of stepping out into the skinny branches and sharing your vision with other people in a way that actually touches, moves, and inspires them, then you are going to be playing Lone Ranger. You're not going to have the people that will support your vision because they see themselves in it, right? And a lot of times, you also got to be discerning. And I know that we're jumping around a lot of different places, but this isn't for you to go and tell your vision to every single person, because not everyone will have the belief system, the emotional congruency to actually hold space for your vision, because a lot of times they're jaded. A lot of times they've given up on their own vision, their own purpose. So if you share that with someone that doesn't have that emotional intelligence and that belief system to actually hold space for you, you might actually be creating a disservice to you. But in the realms of actually requesting for support, go to the people that you know also have a vision on their heart, the people that are up to something just like you, because those are the people that are going to root for you. Those are the people that know, they know what it takes. And so they're actually going to be on the sidelines looking at you like, fuck yeah, go for it. Yes, that's exactly what they're wanting for themselves. So it's super important to know who is your oxygen to your fire, and to start practicing making these unreasonable requests from people that you know will support you in going and getting to the promised land. And I think the more you make other people feel valued within your vision, where you understand that this isn't you're not the star of your vision. A powerful businesswoman knows this. A powerful entrepreneur, visionary, a person in service, a healer, a coach, they know this. They're not the star of their show. The people are. The person they're trying to serve. And oftentimes, the people that you're making these unreasonable requests from, like, I remember when we reached out to Marion Williamson to interview her. Granted, we fucked up the audio, but she said yes. You know, and that was also based on my coach holding space for me on, like, okay, who is that one person that lights you up that you want to interview and amplify their message? And Marion Williamson was at the top of that list. And she said yes to us, and it created a beautiful friendship. And so don't be afraid to ask those people that you may idolize or pedestal, because they're people just like you. They have their shit, they have their flaws, they have their imperfections, and 9 times out of 10, you reaching out to them will actually reinforce the mission and the purpose that they have in their hearts.
You know, so many times in the real estate game, there were so many people that I looked up to when we first got started.
Yeah.
And it's amazing when you actually make these requests, how kind people are, how generous people are, because they remember when they were in your seat. So. Yeah. I mean, I'm talking about guys that had multiple hundreds of units apartments and were very, very well off and didn't have to share any trade secrets with me. And they were so generous with their time. They were so generous with their information. And they just wanted to pay it forward. I think that what we find in human beings is that, in general, most of them, when they achieve a level of success, are grateful for that success, and they just want to, you know, have other people also experience that. You know,
absolutely.
They want to, that, you know, that's how they experience abundance, is by being able to have something to give. So I think that if we look at life cynically and we think that people are just out for themselves, and that becomes our world, right? So when we say the Abraham Lincoln quote about the greatest way to predict life is to create it, part of creating life is creating people around you as their best version of themselves, creating people as abundant. Because when you create them as abundant, they show up as abundant. And I think that that is one of the biggest, biggest keys, is seeing people as a resource, seeing people as wanting to have the greater good happen, just like you do. And from there, so much can be accomplished. There's so many great things that can be accomplished. And when you do get burned and you find somebody that's miserable and comes from scarcity, like you said earlier, that is not the people that you want to have in your life. And this is going to be very hard for people in your audience to hear, but that can be family members, that can be close friends who, you know, seem on the surface like your well-wishers, but they may not be. And that is a harsh reality that I think you and I have had to face in our own lives in just different ways.
Send them love. That's the first thing I say. Like, whoever is showing up in your vortex with a lot of resistance, with some scarcity, send them love. Because at the end of the day, people are doing the best they can with what they know. And I was someone that a few years ago did not believe that. I did not believe that because I've been through so much in my life,
right,
at the expense of people not choosing what's best, right? So people are still doing the best they can with what they know, with the tools, the resources, the level of consciousness available to them. And actually, I'm going to add one more thing to that. To the degree that they're actually willing to do the inner work, that is huge. Not everyone is willing to play that same game, because oftentimes people were sold that ignorance is bliss. And so just keep busy, mind your business, and do what you're told. And now we're experiencing this collective awakening where, nope, it's not like that anymore. Ignorance is not bliss. It's actually painful. Mediocrity is painful. It's exhausting.
Slow down.
Actually takes more work to be in that mediocre experience, because
Absolutely.
You're operating from resistance.
Absolutely. I think that the most important thing we have to consider when we're business people and when we're trying to predict the future by creating it is being selective on who we let in our inner circle. You know, so our inner circle is pretty small, I would say. You know, we've got a lot of friends, we've got a lot of people that are associates, but then we have an inner circle. And the inner circle is a sacred circle. We don't let necessarily everybody in there, because it's going to take something extraordinary to create what it is that we're destined to create. It's going to take something phenomenal. And you need to have people that are drinking the same Kool-Aid that you're drinking, right? So I want to be the dumbest person and the most broke person in every room in the world that I go to. And that means the people that I network with are people that are further along than we are. And that is so vital. If you are playing big fish in your small pond, then you are holding yourself back. It's great to be the big shot and be able to, you know, have everybody praise you. But what takes real courage is being able to go to the biggest people in your industry and ask for support and ask questions and network with them and not feel like your ego is bruised up. I think that's the biggest, one of the biggest lessons I've learned in 2019, 2020 is really to rub elbows with people that I admire, people that I look up to, and people that I want to be like.
It really did take some time for me to heal a lot of my codependency, because I didn't want to leave anyone behind, and I didn't want to make anyone feel like I was leaving them behind, because as a child, I experienced that a lot, where, you know, my aunt and that particular family was doing so well, and we were doing good, but my mom was such a conservative. Like, she would save everything and reinvest everything. So we lived on a budget compared to my aunt. And it created this sense of attachment to people where I didn't want anyone to feel like they were being left behind. But oftentimes, what that created for me, because it was all made up in my head, was it created a lot of anchoring where I was self-sabotaging myself to actually stay in the same place because of that bullshit belief around what success meant to me back then. And so I know that we're jumping around a lot of different places and we're going to continue this in a different series, but I just wanted to share with you guys that you are a powerful creator. You're here to create the life that you dream of, and not everyone is blessed to be born with the resources, the possibilities that you have available to your fingertips. Because a lot of people, like for example, that are born in Africa, in remote part of the world like India, even in my country, are born into situations that takes a lot more work than you could even imagine. The poverty that people are facing is real. And so if you have a roof over your head, if you have food in your fridge, if you have the ability to eat a warm meal today, you are blessed. And those blessings we get to pay forward. Those blessings are our responsibility to actually pay it forward and create the life that actually inspires us, that is full of service, that is fulfilling to us, and that is meaningful in the way that actually means and inspires you. So this is kind of like our own freestyle riff over here in being a stand for you, to stand for yourself, to own your greatness. And with that being said, I wanted to talk to you all about a retreat that I am hosting next month, November 13th to the 15th in Stamford, Connecticut, for all of you in New York and the East Coast that want to join me for 2.5 days in this beautiful sanctuary that is my home in Stamford, Connecticut. For a lot of you, the biggest breakthrough will be in receiving, allowing yourself to receive and align and allow this powerful vision to actually bloom and take space. And this retreat is going to be something really spectacular, powerful, and transforming. It is happening under the Cosmic Gateway of 1111 for all my woo-woo people out there. And it's going to have you recalibrate to the frequency of your success, to that blueprint that is on your heart. And it's there for a reason. This vision that is on your heart, that level that you dream of playing at, is being prayed for by people that are actually waiting on a soul level for you to stand up and take your lead and live the vision that is an answer to their prayers. So if you're interested, please email me at support@michellegiovanni.com, and you can send me a DM either on Facebook or Instagram, and let's make this happen for you.
So that's what you're creating. That's the future that you are actually creating right now, and it's so exciting to see you do it.
I'm so excited.
We've had epic success with this tour. We did this in Samaná, Dominican Republic,
yep.
And it was phenomenal. And I want to speak to the women a little bit here. So if you are a woman listening now, or if you are a man and you're thinking about a woman in particular for a retreat like this, what I can tell you is, for whatever reason, and I'm not a psychotherapist to even give you the reason, perhaps you would know better, or somebody else in the audience would know better, but women tend to settle more than men. There's something about just DNA that women tend to settle more than men.
I don't know if I agree with that, but okay, keep going.
Okay, so there's like facts based on, the fact that women do tend to settle more than men, and, women will deal with a domestically violent husband, for example, or they will make excuses for their son or their family members, and women just tend to historically even sacrifice their careers, even though they're maybe more intelligent than their significant other, and allow him to kind of take the lead. So I say all this to say that I think that there's an opportunity in this retreat that Michelle's holding, that you're holding, the metamorphosis, to really get in touch with what it is that's holding, making you hold yourself back. What is it in your life? What stories have you made up about yourself that have held you in mediocrity all this time? And I believe that if you want to activate yourself, if you want to start to release some of this trauma and really get to the root of it and really start to be in action on what the things that you want in life, the things that matter to you, don't overthink this. Go sign up for the Metamorphosis happening November 13th to the 15th. And let's make it happen. Let's start this new year of 2021 with you living from your vision. And that's what I got to say about that. And I'm excited.
I'm so excited. We only have 2 spaces available. I am so thrilled for the women that have already signed up. This is going to be an amazing opportunity for you to dive inward and catapult forward into your greatness. So let's make that happen for you. If this is you, send me a message and we'll get you started. There are payment plans available, so do not let your circumstances or any money stories stop you. This is something that I know you can make happen if you are truly choosing from your vision. And thanks, babe. Thank you for joining me on this podcast.
Of course.
I'm super excited to keep jamming with you. And stay tuned, because JD has something coming out. He's working on his own podcast to create a lot of real estate value. So stay tuned for that.
Absolutely. The best is yet to come.
We'll see you at the top.
Love you guys.
Bye, guys.